This is a government public open door meeting, so usually we have hybrid, and so sometimes people will pop on and vote
So for
out.
sure.
Yeah. These have been having issues. Oh, look. Yep. And there's already somebody in waiting.
That's really kind of interesting getting the face cam and everything. Does this go on cats?
No, some of the meetings, oh, of course, some of the meetings do. This particular one does not. Yeah, and I believe, I think, the goal eventually for all of the meetings like this, or some of the commission meetings, I think, are supposed to, but the state rule is like by July 1st, everything has to kind of go to this route.
Oh,
So,
interesting. Well, that makes a
yeah.
lot of sense.
Speaking of nerds, like I'm a cat nerd, so usually when I'm working, I have to listen to background noise, and then I will turn on a meeting again to watch.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah, and then sometimes I'm like what? And then I'll just sit up. Yeah. It's not my focus. Hello, I'm so sorry. Why?
Hello.
Days are almost like such a packed meeting day at work.
And
It's
I
a little.
apologize, I don't want to freak anybody out, but I had a major eye exam today. So
Oh,
I've been
you're
dilated,
dilated.
numb, numb and dilated and everything
My
else they do.
goodness.
All right.
Thanks for still showing up.
Well, it's not about this all night.
Now this song is stuck in my head. Thank you very much.
Yeah,
Yeah. Kids don't think I'm funny when I sit here and say because we all 1900s, my kids like to say. Yeah. Yeah. That's awful. What's everybody? Oh, right. I forget that I'm like in charge of I'm starting this stuff. So sorry. Okay, I officially call Interview Committee B meeting to order. Do we need to do a roll? Nope. Okay. Thank you very much for being here. So we are doing interviews for the Transportation Commission today. So my name is Courtney. I am Courtney Daly, District 5, so they're a district this time, City Council.
I'm
Producer
Andy
Summers.
Ruff, and I'm at large, whole city.
Isabel Piedmont Smith, District 1. City.
I'm
Sure.
Daniel Brennan. I
Yes.
don't actually. This is embarrassing. I should have looked up what district I was in.
That's fine. All right. That's all right. Most people have interviewed.
And I'm Avon Binder.
Nice to meet you both. All right. So we have a pretty brief interview, just a couple questions. We're going to make it pretty quick and hopefully painless. It's not meant to be stressful. So, Isabel, did you have a question for the start?
Well, I guess the first one I always ask is why did you apply for this commission? What interests you about transportation? So, Daniel, you want to start?
Sure. Well, I think this is for several reasons. So one is I've become much more interested in government since the Trump election. So I'm like, how can I become more involved in government at a local level and try to have a positive impact? So I think that's one thing. Second, that my daughter was just born, so I'm more interested in thinking about, oh, okay, so like she's going to be growing up here. Things like transportation, how she gets around the city, and sort of safety issues associated with that matter more for her. So I think it makes me look at the place where I live in my neighborhood in a much more critical way and say, like, how could I make that better? And I'm also kind of a transportation nerd in general. Like I'm really interested like in studying public transit in other cities. I work in travel and aviation, so there's a transportation connection there. So it's a thing that I'm personally interested in. Like I like the minutiae of this stuff.
Well, I've lived in Bloomington since 2004. I came here to go to IU, and I've lived in a few different areas of the city and have tried to be fairly civically engaged for a number of years in my neighborhood association and Open Streets Bloomington, which is a project that doesn't exist anymore. But yeah, I was also on the Parking Commission, the City Parking Commission, since 2018. which was, as you probably know, dissolved a few months ago. And so I'm interested in continuing the work that the Parking Commission was working on in terms of transportation policy. I would also say that transportation, and kind of more broadly, the sort of intersection of transportation and land use has always been an interest of mine. Yeah, I'm sure you guys have other questions, but that's.
I guess I'll ask a question. What do you see transportation challenges facing Bloomington today?
Yeah, I would think a lot of it's education about what's already here. I was thinking about this because before I moved back to Bloomington, I was in much bigger cities. So I was a regular daily public transportation user. And then I come back to Bloomington, I get in my car, and I don't even look at my bus schedule. It's like I realize that I feel like I'm someone who should be engaged with this. I actually don't even pay attention. And I realize my neighbors and people around me just it's not something that people even think of as part of their mix. It's like, oh, I have a car, I have a bike, I go walk. Like, they're not thinking about what else they can do. So I think that's one thing that really sticks out to me is that probably there's certain resources that are just underutilized because no one knows about them.
I would say I certainly believe safety is absolutely critical. I mean, we're witnessing, I think, because of a confluence of factors, a rise in traffic and road-related injuries and fatalities in the last few years. And that has a lot to do with national policies of which we have no control. But at the same time, I think at the local level, there is a lot that we can do. Both in policy and infrastructure and land use and education and public outreach and a lot of different things like that. So, I mean, I would say chiefly, safety is one of those things that's near and dear to my heart, I think, because like all the rest of you, I move around the city every day and I want to get where I'm going, safely. So, that's a big one for me, I think.
Okay, did you want to ask the question?
Yeah, I'd love to ask Ewan and Daniel to respond. You said safety.
Yeah.
So what do you see as the primary safety issues? Safety is very broad.
Yeah, sure. Well, I certainly think that there's a lot of people when you ask them how they would like to move around. Most people choose generally whatever they perceive at least as being the safest and or the most convenient method of traveling. I always like to say we should design for the outcomes that we want. We should design for the city that we want to have. And I mean, if you read our comprehensive plan and our transportation plan, it says, it outlines a lot of the goals that we have for improving safety. And a lot of people say that they would love to, bike around town or walk around town, but they don't feel safe doing so either in their neighborhood or, maybe between where they live and, wherever their place of work or education or worship or whatever it is. And so I think that, when you simply kind of look at the data of why people choose the transportation modes that they do, safety comes down to, being one of the major ones. And then that has a lot of downstream impacts. Economic, climate change, all those kinds of things. But a lot of it starts with, the really kind of basic instincts that people have, and of course, safety is kind of there. So I think keeping safety top of mind can lead to a lot of other positive outcomes as well, kind of in parallel. So it's not to say that, other factors aren't important, but I think, approaching it from primarily a safety standpoint is an important one. So, real issues of safety, I mean, again, there's all kinds of statistics you can look at about, increases in road-related injuries and deaths and things, but also the perception of safety, I think, is also critical.
I think that actually does matter a lot to me what you're saying about the perception of safety, because I think there's a lot of people who don't feel confident to walk or to take a bike, even if they could. I think when you look at things like the protected bike lanes that are very much in evidence in downtown, that's not something that goes out to the edge of city limits. If you go out to, I don't know, Laura Road or something, you're not going to find the same degree of infrastructure for that kind of transportation mix, I guess, if you want to put it that way, as you would downtown. So I think it's neat to think about, okay, how can we try and make how can we try and make whatever solutions we have, you know, work for everyone in the city limits rather than just saying, okay, this works great in downtown and for people who live in downtown. But I think that's great. I hadn't thought about as many of those implications as you brought up.
Yeah, I mean, I'm not a parent myself, but, you know, parents are always concerned with, or at least they should be concerned with the well-being of their children. And I mean, you know, you look at generation over generation trends too, of, you know, more parents driving their children to school or ferrying them around in their car wherever they might be going, versus letting them wander freely. A lot of that has to do with perceptions of safety as well. Mm-hmm. And, you know, and there's, I mean, you could go down a whole rabbit hole of all the kind of cultural and other reasons that, you know, that's taking place. But yeah, I mean, I'm great with you there.
Do you both have, how do you both mainly get around living in different types of transportation?
Yeah, so, you know, I'm fully remote, so I don't commute to work. So we have, and the same for my wife, we have one car. So it's kind of a mix of who needs to be where at what time. So we can't both be driving to two different locations. So generally speaking, it's a little easier for me to get around on the bus or bike if that's what it comes down to. So frequently my wife will drive somewhere, and then if I need to go somewhere else, I live close to a bus stop. I can hop on that or bike or walk. So I would say that that's kind of generally what we're doing. It's usually the bus for me is kind of the alternative. It's like, oh, okay, I'm going downtown and the car's not available. I'll use it. I would say that sums it up more or less. We live in a uniquely well-connected place, I would say, which is nice. We're down near the southeastern YMCA. So we've got a lot of options in terms of how to get around. Like, I can technically walk to the grocery store. It's a little far, but a lot of people can't do that. I can take the bus fairly easily. The stop's right across the street. So I think that was part of why I chose where we live. It's uniquely well-situated to have a nice mix.
Well, I would say a lot of the same kind of thing. I'm a single member household, unless you count my cat. He doesn't get out much though. but I work on the IU campus, and as you know, parking is difficult and expensive on campus most of the time. So I usually bike to work when I ride to work, but I also do a lot of walking, and I also own two cars, which I don't drive a whole lot because I think, well, like Daniel, I'm also fortunate to live in a relatively well-connected community. I live in Prospect Hill, which is just next to downtown, so I can walk to City Hall, for example, in probably 20 minutes from my house. But I recognize that a lot of people don't, you know, they're not as privileged, frankly, as I am to have that. And so I think that's something to keep top in mind too, is that there need to be a variety of options available to everybody's life circumstances are different.
I thought about taking the bus down here on principle, but I would have had to leave at 3:45. It's like, well, okay, I can't take that much longer.
And then are either of you familiar with any of the existing transportation related plans, ordinances, or policies that we have in Bloomington? And if so, what are your thoughts on that?
Yeah, superficially, I think my main. Since I moved back to Bloomington, my main source of information, I listened to Steve Poland's podcast, The Inventory. I remember I listened to your interview as well.
Oh, yeah.
So I've heard like some of the recent discussions there that they've had, talking about like the new V-Link shuttles and microtransit around Bloomington. I'm super interested in that. Something I want to try, you know, once it's up and running. So I would say I'm superficially familiar, but it's not something that I followed over the long arc of history. You know, to say like, oh, what were people saying 5 years ago? No idea. But it's something that I've been educating myself about recently and trying to experience more as a user as well.
As I mentioned, you know, the city has a comp plan, a comprehensive plan, and there was a section called the transportation plan that was sort of an addition to the comp plan or an amendment to it. And that's been, I think, the main guide for, you know, the city's, or at least it should be probably, the city's policies around transportation. And as I mentioned too, I've been on the parking commission for 6 or 7 years. So, you know, I would like to say I have a fairly deep understanding of how the city's policies, procedures, and that sort of thing work, particularly around transportation.
Super. Anybody else have any questions?
Well, I'll ask one more quick question. It's possible that we maybe come into a tighter budget situation in the coming years.
Yeah.
Hopefully. And so, assuming that, just for now, for the sake of discussion, what, How do you think that will, or how would you like to see that managed in terms of transportation? If we just have to cut, like, there's less money for transit, if there's less money for amenities like facilities, bike lane facilities, you know, where do we really emphasize if we're, if we have to make some tough decisions?
I think that really has to be driven by ridership or usership. You know, like where I would be wanting to say, like, okay, where are people now, and where can we maintain that service that's clear that people are using, and try and shift to fill any gaps that are on the edge of that. Because, like, I think about things like bike lane infrastructure. I think, well, it's great that we have it. It's great that we use it. But how much is that used compared to this bus line? You know, how much is it used to compare to things people are using to commute to work every day? It's maybe less visible, but, you know, has a much higher impact for people who are, you know, daily riders. So I think that's what I would want to try to understand when answering that.
Yeah, I mean, obviously it comes down to, you know, hard numbers in the end. And one thing the Parking Commission was always trying to keep a close eye on was the economics and numbers of the parking system. You know, how much revenue was parking services taking in from permit sales and garage sales and you know, parking tickets and things like that versus expenditures in terms of capital costs for building parking garages and maintaining surface lots and, you know, repaving spaces and all those sorts of things. But that's obviously just one small aspect of the whole transportation system. I mean, I think, and you make a really good point, obviously, that, you know, funding is always something that we have to keep top of mind, especially right now in the current political climate. But, you know, I think it's also hard to ignore that, you know, automobile infrastructure is incredibly expensive. Both to build and maintain. I mean, the city spent a lot of money on the parking garages that we built over the last few years. And of course, they're there now. And so I don't think there's any point for relitigating any of the processes or decisions that necessarily led up to that. But you know, I think we are all charged with spending taxpayer money wisely. And, you know, considering the per mile costs, for example, or as you said, the per user cost or per rider cost, you know, that can be, I think, really surprising sometimes when just how much money we are spending on certain types of infrastructure that, you know, may or may not ultimately be caught having the socioeconomic effect that we might want. And so I think there's kind of the shorter term view, you know, of like, okay, well, this fiscal year we have this money to spend, and, you know, that kind of thing. There's the slightly longer view of, well, we can take out bonds and, you know, we can create TIF districts and things like that to accomplish longer term strategic goals. But then there's also the kind of much longer view of, like, how do we want to, you know, what's the actual future of the city that we want to help create and that sort of thing. And how is that going to balance out over the course of years or generations? So I think, you know, looking at it from a financial kind of short-term view is necessary, but it's also important to kind of look at a long-term view too, and think about how the built environment and the culture of our city is going to be shaped by, like, a lot of the decisions that we make now.
Thank you. Yeah, thanks very much. That was it for the questions. So unless anybody else has any follow-ups, do you all have questions for us?
Is this the, this, you said this is the first round of interviews you're conducting for the commission? Do you guys have any sense of when, like, what the timeline for the rest of the process is going to be, and when that commission is going to start being able to meet? I'm just curious.
Mm. Do you know when the commission's?
They were always
supposed
to have that meeting, right?
Right.
Yeah, it's funny. It was on Monday. I was going to go.
Yeah, I think pointless. I think they weren't quite ready, obviously, with all the appointments. I'm guessing when we might be ready should be within the next couple of weeks.
Yeah, hopefully we can make our appointments on June 4th.
Before we leave our recess until mid-July.
We have 3 seats.
Mm-hmm. Does the commission meet during the recess or no?
It might,
mm-hmm. Yeah.
My experience with the Parking Commission has been that sometimes there's especially if one or more members members. It's sometimes it's hard to get a quorum.
Yeah.
Yeah, because there's like requirements for, you know, the quorum and then also the number of people who are meeting in person.
Right.
So like you can attend hybrid style, but or remote on Zoom, but if you don't have the minimum number of commissioners showing up in person, then you just have to cancel the meeting anyway. So even if a meeting is like scheduled for, I don't know, July or something or December, if there's more than a handful of people out of town, it's like, well, all right, we'll cancel it.
Typically meetings will be once a month.
Yeah.
Ideally.
Thanks both of you for your interest.
Thank you.
And thanks for serving on the parking commission.
Oh, you're welcome. Yeah, I know what I was.
Thank you. Yeah, thanks
thank
for your
you
time.
Thank you very much. So,
we love the rest of your interviews.
Thank you very much. Yeah, Deputy Clerk Crosby will.
Yes, that's what I was just going to say. So basically, when council makes their full recommendation and everybody, when the committee meets and makes their full recommendation and then when council meets, they will, you know, bring forth it to the council. People will vote on it. And so one way or another, whether you are selected or not, you will hear from me.
Okay, great.
Okay. All right. You're welcome.
And have nice a good evening.
You too.
And really, thanks again for your for coming in and being interested.
Oh, we appreciate it. Yeah, no, it sounds like a lot of fun. I think that's the thing I would add. Like, it's not very entertaining.
Thank you.
You don't get this one.
So we are a little bit behind because Norm has to leave at 5:30 and this is Jordan from Blue.
How's it going? Are we going to come in?
Yeah, come on in.
We just sitting right over here?
Get the party moving.
All right, excellent.
Sorry, we're a few minutes behind.
You are totally fine. I'm in no rush. I do know Norm has something that he needs to leave at 5:30, so I'm happy to defer to him if needed.
I'm here at 5:30. Are you guys running behind?
We are.
Okay.
Yep.
We'll be right with you.
No rush. Thank you. All right. So, hi, welcome. Thank you very much. I'm Courtney Daly, council member representing District 5.
Andy Rothfuss, at large.
Isabel Piedmont Smith, District 1. And Google Far.
Norman Crampton.
Nice to meet you.
Yeah, and Jordan Davis.
All right. Well, thank you both very much for being here. Isabel, I let you.
Well, can I suggest it? If Norm really does have to leave it in 8 minutes, 7 minutes.
Oh, she's not sorry about that.
No, instead of doing them together, maybe we should focus on Norm for 8 minutes and then.
I'm flexible and fine with whatever works best for you guys. Do you have an opening at 5:30? I can hang out another 10 minutes. I don't mind.
Either way, so what we could do is we could add Jordan to the next group.
To the next group at 5:30. Because we're already doing a 3-person limit.
Yeah,
is that cool with you?
Well, good luck. And so you don't want to take the pressure off. Very nice chatting you.
Thanks for your flexibility.
Yeah.
Yeah, thank you.
Yeah, no problem at all. Yeah, of course.
Good luck. Yeah.
So I guess, Norman, we'll start with why did you apply for this commission and what are your interests about transportation in Bloomington?
Sure. I have a long-term interest in transportation. I wrote this little book, How to Get from the Airport to the City All Around the World, 40 years ago, when I was employed in Chicago for a company that had offices all around the U.S. And some in Europe. And it was my job to help the personnel department with staffing and so on in the various offices, to go out and learn about what the transportation was like, about the most important part of getting around, namely flying into a place and getting downtown. So I put this together with the help of a lot of people. I recruited university students who were going on vacation to send in notes about where they'd been, and I gave them a mention in the book, which they could use in a future life or something.
That's very
interesting. That's how this is what I have published on the topic. But in addition to that, living here for 20 years or so, I'm aware of the growth of Bloomington and the arrival of more and more cars. I think it's very important. By the way, I have read the whole ordinance the Transportation Commission. I think it's very important for folks to understand how the arrival of more and more cars changes the way we're living and getting around, and how important it is to encourage the development of other forms of transportation. Of course, I'm thinking about BT. Yesterday, for the first time, I rode the number 13 bus, which I had never done. I knew it was there, and it was kind of fun. I was the only passenger going out. It was the middle of the day, late morning. On the way back in, a little after that, we picked up several people who had learned the bus was there and were using it to get someplace else in town. Anyway, I'm interested in seeing developments like that. I think I can help with my experience, the Transportation Commission with my experience in writing and in public relations and in helping the commission to spread the word. That's why I thought it would be very interesting. By the way, here's the this is my route yesterday.
Oh, yes, that was a long bus ride.
It was a long bus ride. I had a chance to talk to the driver, of course, since I was the only guy on the bus.
Yeah.
And learn. I was very curious about whether the bus, since it passes some important places of employment, whether he was seeing people using the bus to get to work. And I learned that that was not necessarily the case. That, you know, it, and we agreed that it takes a long time after a bus line is formed for the word to get out and for people to understand that they can get out of their cars and use another way to get to work.
Yes. Do you ride the bus often?
I do. I ride the number 5 bus all the time from Southeast Side, where we live. And it's going to be disrupted soon by that work on Rogers. And I saw posted at my bus stop right there at the corner of Rogers and the stands a little notice about the way the bus is going to run for 2 months or so, which is, I haven't studied it yet, but it's going to be different. But I grew up in Chicago using public transportation. We didn't have a car. I rode a streetcar to work. High school with a streetcar to Lane Tech, and then also rode a bus after school to work in the Loop, where I worked at the Chicago Daily News as a copy boy. Hmm.
So you actually kind of touched on this a little bit already, but just to kind of expand it, you know, what do you see as the most pressing transportation challenges facing Bloomington today?
Well, part of it is parking, which may seem unrelated, but is directly related. And parking, of course, connects to schools and businesses and so on. And I think getting people out of their cars and into public transportation, if possible, or ride sharing, is connected to parking. If parking becomes too easy every place, people will continue to drive. Mm. If, for example, the city says new businesses are not permitted to provide any parking, which may sound extreme, it would lead folks to find other places and other ways to get to work. I mean, like an amendment perhaps to Horton Portman's bring something about that sounds kind of radical, but it maybe could lead to some change. What else may I add?
I was scrolling ahead to see what other questions I wanted to make sure we get in. I know you have to leave right now. Is there anything else either of you wanted to quickly follow up?
I could just have you elaborate a little bit. It's good. So acknowledge or you see just the demands of more personal individual vehicles placing pressure on the whole system.
Yeah.
To what extent do you think public accommodations should be made to accommodate all that demand by personal vehicles? In terms of our limited resources,
well, of course, I've already mentioned BT, which is a very important, and I'm interested to read about the new, it hasn't begun yet, service in around downtown. I don't understand exactly how it's going to work, but it sounds like something interesting to relieve some of the driving congestion, meaning cars, and getting people to park and perhaps park in the big lots, which I have the big one just south of here, which I use a lot myself, because it's cheap. My goodness, and so convenient. And yeah, it's great. And I see it's filled every day. At weekdays when I'm in there, the place is packed, you know, during business hours, which is a good sign, but also perhaps it expresses the need for more places to, more similar places to park. I don't know. New parking lots, maybe not.
Which location are you talking about?
I'm the one immediately south, one block south, trying to think of the names of the streets.
Just right out here. Are you talking right on this street, right outside City Hall?
No.
Or over?
No, the new one, the four story, the big one down there.
The garage.
Yeah. Wow. What a bargain. It's so cheap there.
It is cheap.
It is. It's a good. Yeah.
I use it a lot myself, but I think that providing places like that, it gets cars off the street. I also think that people arriving in Bloomington, as my spouse and I did 20 years ago, with one car, other people arrive with two cars. I think it would be interesting for interesting for the program to speak to people who come to town with two cars and try to persuade them to get rid of one. Mm-hmm. And show them how easy it could be to do that.
That is doable.
It's doable.
Yeah.
Yeah. Which I think expresses a PR part of the program that I would be very interested in participating in, because I've done a lot of that.
It's a good point. All right. Well, I know we have to get you out of here. We've
thank you
3 minutes
much.
Over. I'm so sorry.
Okay.
Yeah.
Thank
I did want to bring this in, this book, which was, this was the first book like this, and it persuaded airports to begin posting the information for people arriving, how to get downtown.
Oh, wow.
Any chance we could talk to leave that with us for now?
Sorry, dude?
Any chance we could get you to leave that with us for now? Just
there you go.
I'll get it back to you, I promise.
That's fine. Sure.
Is it an autographed copy?
Oh. Hold on. Thanks.
Thank you.
Yeah. Thank you so much for the opportunity to speak with you, and I hope I've expressed how much I am very interested in serving on the commission.
Thank you so much for coming in.
Yes.
So nice to meet you.
Likewise.
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah, we have three appointments to make, and we hope to make those on June 4th.
Okay.
But either way, you will hear from Deputy Clinton Carlson.
Thank you.
Thank you.
Bye.
Take care, you all.
Bye-bye.
Bye.
Hey, nice
to meet
you
all. Come on in. Remember that commercial
from the 80s with the Jackson,
Dr. Long.
Yeah.
Well, hello again.
I have a deja vu, yeah.
Did we just see? Are you Brian or Jacob?
Okay.
Okay.
There was Brian, I think, was here.
Yes.
Yeah, he popped in. Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Don't want to lose him.
Mm-hmm. I just actually got to click a wardrobe change on Brian.
Okay. Well, should we go ahead and get started? Hi, thank you both for coming in. So we just have a couple quick questions for you for the Transportation Commission. My name is Courtney Daly. I'm City Council Representative for District 5.
I'm Isabel Peabody Smith, City Council District 1.
I'm Andy Ruff, and I'm Council Member at Large. And I'm more than 7,000 because I had an eye exam today. I dilated my pupils and put in the numbing drops and so.
Oh, well, the style works.
I'm just like, he's too cool.
So cool. Blocking out the haters, yes.
All right. Well, do you want to introduce yourselves?
Please. Sure. I'm Jacob Emery.
Perfect timing. Yes.
That's me.
Come on in. We're just introducing ourselves. So, sorry, you are.
I'm Jacob Emery.
Jacob Emery, nice to meet you.
Thank you. I better want more information than that.
Jordan yeah. already. All right.
Okay, I'm Brian Drummy.
Nice to meet you.
Nice to meet you.
Quickly, I'm Courtney Daly.
Okay.
Isabel Piedmontson.
Andy Rupp.
Yep.
All right, so we're going to.
And Deputy Clerk.
I was
going to
say, and I'm Oz.
I was going to say, that's three times Oz. Like you left baby in the corner. Yes.
This is why they don't put me in
the meetings. No, you're totally fine. That's like the fly on the wall.
All right. So, yeah, Isabel, I'll let you kick it off because you always have the first question.
Okay. So the first question is, why did you apply for the commission? And what interests you about transportation in Burlington? So...
Well, the immediate reason that I applied is because a current member of the commission asked me to, or there was a list of people that she invited to apply, and I'm very passionate about transit policy. It's something I'm interested in, and I do not myself drive, and I am invested in Burlington being a safe and sustainable city for people of all transportation modalities.
So I applied because I am a I happen to be on the Bicycle Indiana Board of Directors, and so we were doing some things about advocacy and figuring out what we were doing there, and I was looking at some issues in my current neighborhood area and trying to think, and I'm also a trial lawyer, so I deal with people that have bad experiences in the transportation system, and I'm trying to basically put myself out of business. I want to figure out a way that we can avoid people from having to call people like me to deal with problems after something has happened, and so I'm trying to be a part of the solution instead of what happens after there's problems. So I'm a cyclist, and I have little kids that I want them to be cyclists, but also have apprehension and concerns about that because it's very dangerous. And so anyway, just trying to give back to the community, and I think I have some skills and insight and a different perspective on things given what I do every day for a living. So.
Which is
yeah, for sure. So I had 6 or 9 months or so on the Parking Commission before it was dissolved, and I really enjoyed my kind of first foray into local government, and felt like I was just getting started. I've lived in Bloomington for 16 years, and I'm very community minded. You know, I've started Food Truck Friday and bring back the taste of Bloomington. I've lived downtown. I've lived on the north side. I like to ride the scooters. I also like to drive. I've been involved with the input on the Walnut College Corridor study. And I feel like I've been running the Chocolate Boost for the last 11 years. Just bring some insight from the business, operations perspective. And I really like driving and just like parking and transport. It all just fascinates me. So I just would like to be involved however I can.
Thank you. Spell today. So, can I speak to what do you see as the most pressing transportation issue or challenges facing Bloomington today?
I think one of the, I don't know, but one of the issues that it's, back up, as a cyclist and a driver, I drive mostly, but it's interesting to observe my colleagues and friends, who some of which are cyclists, some of which are not, but then I think Bloomington is very progressive in terms of cycling, but then there's a kind of a pushback from the drivers, like, well, they're taking the whole lane for you bike riders. And so I think finding that balance is important. And I feel like more and more, I've lived here for almost 20 years now as a non-student and as a student before that. And it does seem like our roads keep getting busier and busier and busier. And how we deal with that and adjust for that is something I think is going to be the most important thing for us to do. So that when my kids are old enough to be decide where they're going to live as adults, that we if we don't do that well now, then it's going to be a challenge.
Yeah, I also want to speak to balance. I think that's the biggest thing. You know, as someone that doesn't really cycle but drives a lot, I have a lot of friends that are cyclists, and finding the happy medium. I think the biggest thing is awareness and just everyone knowing what the process is for and why these decisions are being made. And that goes for a lot of local government. They just don't understand why this decision was made or that was made. With the B-Link coming out, I think that's going to be great if people know about it and if they can use it. I think there's a lot of great stuff that's already there that people aren't aware of. So I think just the biggest challenge is awareness and getting that out there. I grew up in Carmel right when they were doing all their roundabouts, and I don't want Bloomington to be Carmel. I want to say that. By no means is that what I want. There's a reason I've been here 16 years and I like being here. But I have seen that what, you know, smart, intentional infrastructure improvements can do for just ease of getting around town. And I'd love to, you know, bring that problem solving approach to Bloomington and see how we can help.
Yeah, I jump on the same bandwagon, kind of future oriented reduction of animosity between different transportation modalities and engineering the streets in such a way that everyone can safely coexist without feeling any friction. And I think I would add to that also, I'm aware of post-pandemic drops in public transit usage. And we haven't mentioned the bus system yet, but it's not as efficient and well-used and popularized as I think it could be and probably should be.
The B-Link that Jordan mentioned,
that's the shuttle.
I just think it's going to be cool to wave something down. Mm-hmm. I was talking to council member Zoolander about that yesterday. I was like, I'm just excited to feel like I'm in New York and make a fake accent while I'm waving.
Only if you do it really badly.
Oh, it will be. Yeah. I don't think I couldn't do a good one if I tried. Like, I'm not messing with that guy. Yeah.
I would like to ask Jake more about. Do you use the term, and then both of you guys kind of chime in on your perspective on it. Use the term animosity. Can you sort of elaborate a little bit on what you mean? Do you mean conflict in terms of actual usage or resentment and animosity from perceived biases in the community or in investments? Or can you talk about that?
So I'm sure that it's a very small sector of the Bloomington population that feels resentment or animosity, but I am aware that there are drivers that feel resentful of, as Brian said, lane space being devoted to bicycles, and people will shout at cyclists, and then cyclists and pedestrians, I think, are upset at cars when they race through the crosswalks without stopping. And these are road design issues that I think can be mitigated with the engineer.
I agree. It's essentially just cars and cyclists or people on scooters as well, which I love the scooters personally. I think that's animosity is an accurate way to describe it for sure.
And definitely some of that. I think a bigger concern, as I'm also a pedestrian quite often, work downtown, and being a parent has been an interesting thing. Mm-hmm. Like, explain to your kids, there's a term for it, the whole like left turn driver, that pulling out on one way, you're looking right, and like having to explain to your child, like, you cannot walk in front of that car. Like, I guess he's supposed to look back to see you, but I do for a living, that doesn't always happen, and you miss it or whatever. And so that's just like more enforcement in terms of like people are old. If I'm in the crosswalk, there's cars like 3 feet in front of me, behind me, that's not supposed to happen. And that's the part of it. We just need to be, I don't think it's necessarily, sometimes it's resentment or like people are angry about something, but sometimes it's like people just need to be reminded, like we all share these surfaces together. And it only works because we all follow the rules. So I don't know any great solutions to that, but other than my, and I know there are people that study these things really, I'm not one of them, but I'm interested in it, care about it. And like I said, in a perfect world, I don't want people to get injured or have their lives changed from our transportation system. So,
Brian and Jacob have already said, Brian definitely talked about being a cyclist. Do you use alternative forms of transportation as well?
Yeah, so I don't drive.
Right, you said
we have a car in the household.
Yeah.
We primarily I walk in the winter typically or take the bus, in the summer I bike. I also have a 6-year-old child who I take on a tandem bike or else on the bus the whole time.
And Jordan, you mentioned you like scooters.
I love rolling up to an important meeting downtown and seeing them looking at me coming up on a bird scooter. But no, I really do like to drive. I always have. And I agree with both of these guys where obviously we need to make things safe. People just need to follow the rules. But there's some people that for my job, for example, I'll go to our downtown chocolate mousse store. Then I go to our warehouse at Fairfax Road and South, Old State Road 37, go out to the Brown County store, go to an event on campus. It's not realistic for me to bicycle these places. You know, there's a lot to get done in the day. I have to drive. And obviously there's still a ton of people driving. So back to the balance point where it's still realizing most people are driving. But still encouraging and increasing the awareness about the other ways, making them safe, and just making sure people utilize them.
We've all kind of touched on this a little bit, but are you guys familiar with any of the existing transportation related policies, plans, ordinances?
I'd say the most familiar I'd be with would just be the parking, my time on the parking commission.
You mentioned the Bloomington College corridor.
Yeah.
Walnut College corridor.
Yeah. And then just, I go to the DBI meetings. I'm the president of the Visit Bloomington board. I'm in the loop on some stuff. That's how I kind of knew about the B-Link, or I think they also call it just Blink, which I kind of like. But as far as a deep dive into the policies, I'm probably not as aware of some of the folks that you're going to be interviewing.
I subscribe to the B-Square Beacon. So whenever the articles come up about things like the Walnut Corridor, I become at least perfectly aware of them. I wouldn't say that I have detailed knowledge at this point.
I deal with them sometimes for work, but I only on issue by issue basis. So aware of them, of how they're structured, sometimes surprised by them. Mm-hmm. I was involved a little bit when. And I can't decide if I'm pro or on this issue, but there was an ordinance change about bikes on the sidewalks a few years ago, and which I think in some respects has been a good. I've looked at things like that sidewalk presented by Pat, and is it asphalt or concrete? Does it make a difference? But so I'm familiar with them, but I don't read them.
But they're fascinating.
It'll put you down.
Andy's doing fast.
Burning
question. Has any questions for us?
What is, if we were to be selected, what is the commitment obligation? I don't need to be
5 hours a day, every day.
Sure.
Casual.
Real life. About once.
I'm curious to know a little more about consolidation of the three separate committees into one, and the rationale behind that, the size and scope of the committees is going to be moved.
Well, the initiative came from the administration, and they were primarily motivated, at least it came out said, it was efficiency of serving the commissions, right? Mm-hmm.
Well, and of looking at transportation issues more holistically, because we have the traffic commission, parking commission, bicycle and pedestrian safety commission. Those things are all interrelated. The staff thought it would be easier to have one commission with broad representation than working on the issues.
When it was initially brought up, I kind of sided with former council member Mullen, where I thought they should remain separate, just because I thought we barely had time to touch on all the parking stuff in that time we met. So my biggest concern was, how are you going to cover all of these things in a once a month meeting when we could barely just touch parking in a once a month meeting? So that's, I don't know, that just reminded me I had that concern. So maybe I can get in there and help and be like, all right, let's go, let's be quick. And there's a ton to knock out, but I get the holistic approach. It makes sense as well.
It could be, this is going to be a very demanding commission in terms of
complexity
and time.
If in a couple of All right, and there are three spots that the council has to fill, and then there's some spots that they are to fill. So we're hoping to vote on those June 4th. But Deputy Clerk Crossley will contact you regardless.
Will do.
Great. Thank you all so much.
Thank you.
Yeah, thank you. Appreciate it. Yeah. Yeah, thanks for the time.
Your interest.
It's nice to meet you guys.
Yeah, you as well. Good to see you.
Yes, me too. Last day of school is
tomorrow. We're staffed up and ready. It felt like it already. It's like overcast and chilly, and we're still getting our butts kicked right now with ice cream. Yeah. I know. Well, all the staff was like, "This is the last day." I was like, "It's tomorrow, and we're ready tomorrow." But it's a good problem to have. So,
yeah.
Take care.
Yeah.
Thank you.
Bye.
Thank you.
So we have Barbara Markinski. Barbara, the
interesting. The mayor's office did appoint Leslie Davis today.
Oh, good. Mm-hmm. I saw her application in there.
Yeah. She just got appointed.
Okay. Please come in. It's all about what they see about her. I think we can have a seat.
Hello.
Where do you want us?
Oh, right here.
Just wherever you. There's a chair.
It's the last for you.
Mr. Bowen.
Those cheap glasses.
We're casual. Yeah, Andy's too cool for school.
Who did you pull over on the way?
Eric Estrada? Are you punctual? No, I had a eye exam today and dilated my people.
Tell me which one.
Yeah.
Looks good. Even yeah. Like you're in charge. Kind of Joe Biden. Those were his thoughts.
Hi, everybody. Thank you for coming in. I'm going to introduce Deputy Clerk Jennifer Crossley first and foremost because I ignored her. I'm Councilmember Daly. I represent District 5.
I'm Andy Ruff, the at large.
Is that from Watson, District 1?
Did I not say my first name? I think I just said Councilmember Daly.
I'm so used to it. Sorry, I have Courtney.
Yeah. Courtney. Courtney. Yeah.
I'm coming. That's what you want to be called.
No. I was being formal. So thank you all very much for being here, and I'll let you guys go around and introduce yourselves.
Well, I'm Barbara McKinney.
I'm Mark Stoffberg.
Steve Bowen.
Welcome. Well, we'll start with the big question. Why did you apply for this commission? What interests you about transportation?
Sure, let's talk about it. I've been thinking about applying for the Bicycle Pedestrian Commission for a while because I think as I said in my application, I mainly get around ways by walking, and I kind of had the impression that the commission took more time on bicycle concerns than pedestrian concerns. And then when I saw you had combined all the commissions, I thought that makes all kinds of sense. And this is more interesting to me. As a person who walks a lot, who uses the buses, who's dealt with transit issues and traffic issues when I was with the city, I just think this would be a more interesting opportunity.
I served on the Bike Pedestrian Safety Commission for several years, including as president. And I'm interested in seeing this merge commission get off the ground in a functional way. My business works in the parking industry, but I have some experience with the parking as well.
I think you know me, but the specific reason I'm here is also due with parking. I, as you all probably know, was not in favor of the getting rid of the parking commission, but at least that discussion put into the proposal for the Transportation Commission language about taking observing parking. It's not a safety issue. It's a demand issue. It's an economic issue. And the principle when the Parking Commission was created was that it be overseen by the planning department as opposed to public works. So this new commission is still overseen by planning, which is good. And it's good that they've taken that under their umbrella, but it's going to be the engineering department.
But engineering is the direct.
Okay. Well, the point being that after safety comes, how will we price parking? And I make sure that that's something that is talked about at least as much as it was before.
Awesome, thank you. Sorry, you guys gave me a lot to type there.
So what do you see as the most pressing transportation issues facing Bloomington today? You go first.
Well, I recall talking with planning about the intersection of Swain and Third, where they put the diverter in to make it only one lane there, because that was the second highest origin of traffic incidents. And once they put that in, there's a lot of people trying to turn left onto Swain from the outer lane of Third Street going westbound, which meant they were crossing traffic and it was really hazardous. And they fixed it. And I feel like engineering is doing a pretty good job of addressing crashes, addressing safety in that way. I'm here, like I said earlier, because I think that parking is a huge issue, that it generates traffic. The price of meters has never changed since they were installed 12 years ago. Now a dollar an hour is actually 75 cents an hour in 2013. And it's allowing demand for the streets downtown to increase. The last figure I had was that the city was generating the same amount of revenue as it was in 2019 in 2023, but instead of 1.9 million transactions, there were 1.2 or 3 million, which means that more people were staying longer. The people who were buying parking were staying longer. They were using this resource, and fewer people were getting the opportunity to park. So that's just one thing that I'm thinking about lately. But that's just me, and I know I'm sort of hyperfixated.
For me, the most pressing issue is intersectional planning for the next 10 years. Often we've had projects that affect both of these. When we put in this, both all these topics, we put in the 7 line that was removing parking slots and putting in bike lanes. So, we have a Vision Zero plan that's in place to reduce the fatal and serious injury accidents. So that's a short-term goal of the city. The city is not, in recent years, they've hired a transportation demand management coordinator to also shift create a mode shift from single occupancy vehicle trips to other forms of modes. So that's another thing the city has going on. I see this merged group be maybe the right place to address that intersectionality. I was planning to show up in January as an advocate for a friend who was hit by a car. She was crossing the street properly in a crosswalk by a driver who was clearly speeding and was not sighted. So, I mean, that speaks to the traffic commission part of this. We still have, I think, room for improvements there. We recently had a large snowstorm, and there was some concerns that we could be doing better in that response. So.
I don't think I know enough to say what the most pressing issue is, but I think I was a city's ADA compliance officer for a long time, and I think we could do a lot better in accessibility. I think we do pretty well, and I think Michael Shermis is doing a great job, but we could do better addressing accessibility issues and walkability issues as well, so we don't have to have so much parking if we make it a more walkable city. And I really like the idea what you just said about making sure we look at all the concerns at once and not just, oh, this is what bicyclists need, this is what drivers need, this is what walkers need, but trying to figure out how to make it work for everybody.
Mm-hmm. Sure. Thank you. Mm-hmm. Andy, did you have a question or anything?
Well, I just think to pass out the potential for tighter budgeting in the future, shorter money for our priorities across the board, let's see, possibly. And how that would affect priorities, investment, compared to maybe what we might have been thinking the way it looked a couple of years ago, what year ago, and how that budgetary shift went. Now, how do you view that in terms of this commission maybe facing a different playing field than a few years ago?
Right. As an advisory group, we are responding to proposals brought to us by the staff for our opinion. So I would see the staff figuring out that question of how we do less with resources, and then we can advise on them. We're not really I don't think any of these bodies were like fiscal advisors. I know the Bike Fed had a small amount of grants that they were in charge of to give them out, but I don't see it as this body's role to be on the forefront of that.
I wouldn't agree. I think that there's a danger that there's already the case that we use money unrelated to transportation to do things like build garages. And that since we've had meters in, the parking system is at least paid for itself. When you look across the whole, garages, lots, meters, and citations. But I fully expect that if meters go up as they should in order to better regulate traffic, that money will not stay in the transportation system, that it might get diverted to non-transportation related dollars. And so I think it, especially since parking was written into the Transportation Commission ordinance, if economics is not a part of this commission, then why kill the parking commission? It should be revived so that the economic aspect can be thought about. I think there's a lot of really qualified people who are applying for this. I at the very least think that there ought to be a model sort of like the NPO has, where there's a citizens advisory committee and a technical advisory committee. You could have people who are separately appointed to advise the Transportation Commission on specific issues like accessibility, parking, you could even go so far as to say bike and pet safety. I just don't know what the composition of the commission is going to be like. Then when all is said and done, will they have time to think about all the issues that are going to be asked of them? I got why the three things were merged, but I hope that those meetings, I said those meetings will go as long as planning commission meetings. I hope that people who are appointed to the commission are ready to, to really serve, to think about all of these different things. And if not, to appoint citizens advisory committees to help those commissions who may have those specialties. So I'm worried about the money part, and I think we all should be.
I think all three of you have already spoken to this, but one of the requirements is for people on the commission, for our appointee, is that you have to regularly use transportation options other than driving your car. Now, Barbara's already said she walks and uses the bus. I know Mark, so I know that he uses the bicycle.
So I have both a tricycle that's been out of commission for a while, because it's missing a part that I can only get from Germany. And in order to find something that I could use at my height, I've settled on electric scooter. So I have a sit-down electric scooter that doesn't turn into a sail. But I use it to all my trips to campus and about half my trips to City Hall. And I love not paying for parking.
I was wondering how big your tricycle would have to be. Yeah.
It's recumbent.
Okay.
So that's the only way it works. It's always looked like a service car.
That's it for my questions. Any more questions?
Were you going to ask about the plans? Familiarity with the plans?
Oh, thank you. I didn't ask that one already. So I'm getting a little.
Let me get to your attention.
This is what I do for my job every day. I do interviews. So this happens once I've done too many in a day, too.
I can
Yes.
So are you familiar with any existing transportation-related policies, ordinances, mm-hmm. plans in Bloomington? And if so, what are your thoughts on that?
Well, I worked for City Legal for a long time. The last few years, I was parking's attorney, and I did a lot of the traffic ordinances, so I wrote with a fair number of the ordinances, like the ordinance saying you can ride your bicycle on the sidewalk as long as you follow rules, which nobody followed at all. changing one-way streets to it. I wrote a lot of those, so I'm pretty familiar with that.
I was involved in the public engagement process on the last transportation plan. And recently, we're looking closely at our snow removal plan and submitted some requests for this revision for the past month.
I think you can safely say that we're all overqualified.
Yeah, for your note, I only wrote, yes.
Maybe I know. I'll just emphasize the policy, and again, it's parking related because that's what's been most on my mind. Areas, the zone 6 in Garden Hill was an overshoot. We are basically overcharging for parking there because 240 spaces on the street, 100 of them are used on a regular basis. Only 100 permits are sold because there aren't enough single family houses there are more spots than houses, units that are eligible to buy permits there. And there are people saying, why can't we park on the street? Nobody's using it, but there's no amount of money you can spend on it. And it's just sort of an absurd thing, but we haven't resolved the issue of, is neighborhood zone parking a problem? And so it's a policy that needs to be revisited, but it's not part of, it's not a core policy like these two have mentioned, you know, like essential safety matters. So sorry, I'm going to quote the record.
Okay, so that was all of my questions.
Last follow-up question? Do you have any questions for us? Mm-hmm. When will the decision be made and the commission start meeting, do you know?
Well, we're hoping to vote by June 4th, or on June 4th. Mm-hmm. As far as when the commission, we've already missed a meeting. They didn't have a body.
They're rare to go.
Maybe
next week. And if you don't have
Yes.
How many people have been appointed?
Three that I saw. That does not make a commission. Three a commission does not make.
Tell that to Board of Public Works.
Yeah, that's four.
Is there a county commissioner?
Is there
a
commissioner? Oh,
there's certainly a commissioner.
All right, fine.
Thank you.
All right.
How many seats are you in?
We get three today.
Condolences, good luck.
Can we talk because everybody's been there. So thank you so much for
thanks for coming in. Thanks
for wanting to make the commitment because I think it's going to be a significantly demanding commission to serve on.
The first year will be hard.
Yeah. For sure. Getting it there. So it's kind of fun to be at the beginning, too. I'm a nerd enough to say that's not. Frank
is
yeah, I know.
She walks in there.
I
understand. He's saying,
yeah, he's a nerd is a good word. Yeah, increasingly. I feel like I'm safe admitting that I'm a nerd. I feel like
everybody knows that.
Pretty much fully nerd. If I didn't think you were all nerds too, I would take that.
All right, thank you.
Thank you
guys
really
very much. Have a good day.
Get out.
Thank you.
Bye.
I'm going to start smacking, guys.
I have my signature that I would love to.
Best of, but this is going to be a hard call.
It's going to be really hard.
It's going to be terrible. It's not going to be any fun at all.
Is what?
It's not going to be any fun at all.
I really. We saw one woman. It just kind of. It's disappointing to me that there weren't more female applicants.
It's going
to but I think the one woman we did speak with is really good.
Yeah, she knows.
Knows her stuff.
She has a lot of experience.
And also representing many of the congregations. That's my initial thought.
Yeah, I was kind of starring names as we're leaving.
starring them, you mean?
Sorry, starring the ones that I.
Well, I bet you got more than 3 stars.
Oh, yeah.
How many did we interview?
Well, then let's start. Since there's definitely more than 3 stars, are there any, let's start from the other end, are there any that you definitely could say, they would be okay, but what else? And clearly, we've got several good ones. Can we shrink the pot of 9 by eliminating?
Well,
or does that not make a sensible approach?
No, I think that does. I feel like it's such a pessimistic start.
Don't you? Okay.
Yeah, I mean, I can tell you who I starred, who I didn't star. You know, the ones that I starred were the ones that I thought were stronger.
So there was no way that you were just like.
Nobody that I was like, oh. Fight against, okay. You know. I'll hear out all.
Okay.
All suggestions.
Oh gosh.
Who did you start?
Start to too many people. Eoban, Norman, Jordan, Brian, Robert, and Steve.
Yeah, I think Eoban really knows his stuff.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, he was talking about, you know, transportation plan and stuff, and I think he would be a real asset.
So, what were you guys, neither one of you seemed to start Daniel from, what were your thoughts on that?
Oh, he was fine.
I thought he was fine.
He just didn't have,
he wasn't as strong as, didn't make as strong of an impression.
Yeah.
Right.
Had you?
Well, I thought he was strong in a lot of ways, but I really had put a strike against him when he told me he listens to the Bolins podcast. Just kidding. That's a joke. No. I see you, I sort of liked his, so you seem to have a sort of almost a youthful enthusiasm, but maybe it wasn't like quite as focused professional towards this job, or this, I don't know, but I'm not gonna.
What did you guys think about Norman?
He was more
into the PR part of it, yeah. And I don't know if
make you see
he really, story. I mean, it's going to be advisory. He's going to be asked for it. Advice on things other than buses, so I don't know, but
you say he thought he could bring writing skills to it.
Yeah, and it's not really that kind of commission.
I don't know.
If we have somebody else who is older, then we could have that demographic represented, maybe by Barbara.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. So in the next round, I was torn between Jordan and Brian. I thought they each had their strengths, of course. I thought Brian
seemed very different.
Yeah, in very different ways. On the one hand, Jordan is very involved in the community, so that's great.
Yeah.
And on the other hand, well, he's already very involved in the community. Bringing Brian in could be a way to get him involved in the community. He clearly has some working knowledge of this issue in general.
You would bring a different perspective, Brian.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
But so would Jordan. I mean, he's a business owner.
Yeah. He
brings that perspective. So.
Very involved with that kind of business.
Yeah.
You said he was president or the chair of some?
I think downtown Bloomington. Was he really?
Mm-hmm. Huh.
This is going to be really hard. Maybe the thing to do is to get some agreement on a couple of people that we think were not strongest, and then we'll maybe be at 6 out of instead of 9. Because as long as I've got all 9 of them in front of me, where I made notes on each of them, I keep jumping back to all 9.
Yeah. Well, I feel like.
If I could get 3 of them off.
We've all. And maybe I misunderstood. I feel like we've all already at least agreed
Matt, Daniel, and Norman.
Well, I'm not totally there yet, but let me think about it for a minute.
I would say, and just in kind of observant, you do have a lot of people that are very bicycle and bus heavy, which is fine. I think just kind of going back and reading and kind of reviewing like what the commission is looking for, I think having somebody that is well-rounded in all aspects. I know Brian had mentioned he primarily walked, like, he's downtown, he works, you know, he also bikes as well, too.
But he also hurts.
Mm-hmm. And then Jordan does everything.
Well, Jordan made it drives.
Yeah.
Yeah. I think Jordan would be a good, as a business owner and somebody who mostly drives, maybe that would be a good
place. Jordan?
Yeah.
Yeah, I could agree with you on that. You seem very open to and aware that this is a very interrelated, complicated, but that a lot of people do drive, but yet we do need to work on these other. You seem very, but not heavily committed in any direction.
Mm-hmm.
You know? Mm-hmm. I kind of like that. That sort of exuberant balance you see right now. Do you want to get agreement on him then right now, here now?
Jordan?
Jordan?
Well, depends on who else.
Yeah, let's not commit just yet.
Because Mark Stossberg is also good, because he's actually studied this on his own time. That's how committed he is.
Between us, of course, I didn't not like his answer that, oh no, we'll just respond to what's brought to us. My understanding is that this commission is going to, or I would hope they'd have a lot of influence into policy type that would influence what's brought to them. You know, when I asked the tighter budget question, I said, you know, we're coming into tighter budgets, and how would you maybe deal with forced shifts because it's on our priorities and our investments as a community in transportation related areas. He's like, well, we wouldn't be doing that. We're just going to respond to what broad staff brings to us.
Well, but I interpreted that as it's not up to this commission to decide where to cut the budget.
I assumed, and if it had just been an interview with just him, I would have said, so what do you mean by that? Because you know, this commission, I would hope, would influence a lot about the policy direction, which would, and are you giving, or you're not going to make budget decisions? I mean, we know that's kind of obvious. And yeah, well, we've had that conversation with
but how to make
less. But with the three-person thing, it just wasn't really conducive at the time. So, but it, to me, it felt like kind of a less thoughtful. I mean, Boland immediately said, well, I have to disagree with both of you. Now, Carver kind of deferred to Mark on that answer, too. So I guess maybe it would be good for me to hold it more against Mark than Barbara. But Boland really quickly said, screw that. You have a lot of responsibility in this to try to influence where investments go, even in the tight budget. More, maybe more importantly, tight budget scenario. Anyway, so well, that was
for parking, not for others.
Yeah, he could have come back parking, but I think he didn't specifically say just for parking, that generally speaking as a role of the commission. So that was definitely something that I would push. If you guys both say, well, we really want to mark, I would. You had to persuade. Not if they weren't telling other people, fine, sure.
Like, that's fine.
To other people.
We don't have to keep him on the list of people. There are enough other good people.
That's
the problem. We
have to keep people. Exactly. Mm-hmm. Yeah, I mean, normally if you say, I'll be happy to just say, oh, that's point mark for sure. You got to eliminate some people.
So then, what are your thoughts on Steve?
this stuff.
It's
a little bit too simple.
Yeah.
Well, on the one hand, yes, he's very focused on parking, but it is part of the commission, and that's not something that anybody else really talked about.
Well,
so we are going to need somebody who's.
But Aobon also was on the parking commission, I think.
Yeah, and so was Jordan, right?
Yeah.
I was surprised that you met all this parking commission representation. Three parking commission members.
Mm-hmm. Oh yeah, Aobon was on the parking commission.
So are you saying that Isabel brought that up, that we could get that perspective from one of the others? Or that the whole representation of the parking aspect of that?
I'm saying we do want to have parking represent that parking interest or experience.
And so I just wanted to would you say that any of those three, because they all serve on parking commission, would bring enough of that? Or would you say, no, it seeks on the prince?
I think Jordan would not bring enough of that. He wasn't on it very long.
Right.
But Aobon, I think,
he's been on it since it started pretty much.
So I'm leaning towards Aobon, Jordan, and Barbara. But I could be convinced because the others are good too.
Okay. I would be okay with those things.
I just know how hard it is to schedule another meeting, so I was hoping.
Yeah.
Oh, yeah.
In the 7 minutes.
I have eight.
Whoa.
Eight on my clock. Okay. Yeah, I like those three. I was trying to figure out a way to try to get Brian on there. I think he represents a well-rounded and too, but
instead of,
I don't know.
Yeah,
that's the problem.
Can we ask for a fourth, please? Can we ask to appoint 9 seats, please?
What are your thoughts?
It'd be nice if we could just make an executive decision and have an ex officio member that we could just appoint.
Well, the mayor still has to appoint one.
Mm-hmm. And that is a particular seat. That's the MCCS seat.
Which none of ours.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, we don't have anybody for that.
Mm-hmm.
That's just a preference.
Right.
Now, I did like that Brian has kids.
Mm-hmm.
Aobon and Jordan. Well, I don't know if Jordan has kids.
He didn't mention him.
He didn't mention him.
But yeah.
Daniel mentioned he had a baby, but he saw our baby.
The kid asked about his.
I think it is. Yeah. You know.
So.
You look at safety with a very different
yeah.
eye.
So I would be willing to do Brian instead of Jordan.
It's kind of where I'm at, is like weighing those two and it feels between.
Jordan is already very involved. I'm quoting yourself, you yes. back to you.
You are. You are feeding me my words.
Just thought about the kid.
So I'd be more inclined to bump Aobon before Jordan, personally.
I really think we need somebody strong on parking.
Yeah.
I mean, it's not like people who don't have kids can.
Yeah,
of course. Right.
I don't have kids.
Yeah. You're still concerned about safety. Yeah. Yeah, what a message to send. People who don't have kids don't care about safety.
That's like J.D. Vance's message. Yeah, you don't have kids. We don't want to hear from you.
Yeah.
You don't count. Well, clock is ticking.
Yeah. Yeah, I was going to say, you do have like 5 minutes. So the only other thing is, you could ponder on it. And if you wanted to have a quick meeting on the 4th, now we probably need to have that beforehand.
Yeah.
So next Wednesday. Yes, because 26. Yeah, so next Wednesday is the 28th. So you could have a follow-up meeting on the 28th. You do have other vacancies on some of the other commissions. Like, for example, there's somebody that applied for CAPS. Yeah, and so I had been going through and contacting people to kind of get a gauge because a new press release just went out. So we've been looking at that. So you could just ponder a lot on your thoughts since you've got now about 3 minutes left before your other meeting starts. And so we could, if you all are okay with next Wednesday on the 28th, we can. That meeting would probably be short because you would have had time to think about it. So you could wait until next week to think about it. And then that gives me an opportunity to get the memo ready for the council packet to give to Lisa to put it in for your last meeting before recess.
Are you all available next Wednesday? So check in now.
Yeah, were we gonna would we be able to like do anything else productive at that meeting next Wednesday? Like you said, at CAPS?
Yeah. Like just, of course. You know, yeah.
Maybe that makes sense.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, if we're gonna try to, if it'd be helpful to have that meeting, then why shouldn't we wait? Think about it longer to do this.
Yeah. Because you could be, you know, there could be some things that kind of stick in afterwards, and
yeah.
You got 2 weeks until the 4th.
So, Jennifer, I feel like you've got a sense that if we were to do it right now, we'd be kind of rushing it a little bit.
Not so much rushing it. I think if it were me, per se, you literally had 9 good people.
Yeah.
Everybody had, you know, their moments, and you can kind of see how everybody can make it. I understand, you know, Isabel's point of it's really hard to get everybody in the same schedule to meet again. I know I would be available for next Wednesday. So if it were me, I personally would maybe take a little step back and think about it before appointing people.
You think we could do like a 5:45 meeting?
Yeah.
Available.
Mm-hmm.
Are you available?
Yeah.
It's not a council. It's not a council. Right.
Wait,
I'm still available.
I foresee this meeting not lasting any longer than 30 minutes tops. Yeah. You're very welcome, Paul. You just got
Okay. We are adjourned.
6:29.
Thank you very much.